I am the wind, I am the wind, without fault, without friend. I have no home, no cares to tend, all alone. I am the wind, I am the wind, I am the wind, where I go is where I've been. I'm here today and gone again, on my way. I am the wind, I am the wind, lazy wind, gentle breeze in Lover's Glen. In the awesome tales of fishermen, testing sails, I am the wind, I am the wind, contrary wind, here to serve my maker's end. I don't believe I've ever sinned. I only know I am the wind, I am the wind, swirling wind, stripping trees at summer's end. But I'm the song of spring again. Right or wrong, I am the wind, I am the wind, eternal wind, around the door between gods and men. And if you see how I go in, you'll have the key and know the wind. You'll have the key, my friend, to know the wind.
the sun comes streaming out of the sky, making everything grow and keeping us alive. And I made a connection to the sun on the green leaf. Only they can make food with sunshine energy. Yeah. Oh, photo synthesis. Fast of those chlorophyll containers called chloroplasts. They'll be in there, move around in each leaf. Yeah, they get excited when the leaf gets lighted and become the trees. Move back to the leaves. I said a photosynthesis. I said a photosynthesis is a process. From the ground, which is where the rain falls and the roots of our plants. They travel just for me in the bark up to the leaves. It's what they need to make food for the tree and the rest of the vaporize. I said a photo synthesis. I said a photo synthesis. It's a process. You wouldn't want to miss that photo synthesis. You know it's true. We'll all be through without the rock and roll, the photosynthesis, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now when the vapor slips out, come on, the oxide slips in. Just as the leaf releases water's oxygen, oh, it makes it free for you and me. It's a living example of harmony. So next time you think everything's all wrong, go breathe among the leaves, you're gonna know you belong. Go breathe among the leaves, you're gonna know you belong. I said a photosynthesis. I said a photosynthesis is the process. Who'd wanna miss that photosynthesis? You know it's true. We'd all be through without the rock and roll. The photosynthesis, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now when the leaves get sunshine and water too, carbon dioxide from me and you, they make that sugar. It becomes glucose. It becomes all the sugars in the bark and it's stored as starch to its food flow. And when the tree needs it most, photosynthesis. I said a photosynthesis is the process. You want to miss that photosynthesis. You know it's true, but I'll be through without the rock and roll. Photosynthesis, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's all a part of me. The ground is open wide. I'm being sucked inside where my soul can hide. The night winds sing a song, the rain clouds come along, they tell me I belong. The ground is but the sea is but a tree, and the tree is but me. The tree is but me, the sea is but a tree, and the ground is but the sea. It's all a part of me. It's all a part of me. Time is standing still, I'm drifting down a hill to smiling daffodils. Looking through the green of the cool serene oceans of my dreams. The ground is but the sea, the sea is but a tree, and the tree is but me. The tree is but me, the sea is but a tree, and the ground is but the sea. The ground is but the sea.
There's a wonderful tree in the forest, 640 feet tall, with a nest of robins in her hair, and sap and knot holes everywhere, and all of the things you would like to have if you could only have a tree, a branch and a trunk and some leaves and a dog who uses the tree for a lavatory,
who uses the tree for a lavatory.
But alas, for the wonderful tree, for soon it will no longer be. For hark, here come the lumberjacks, see them saw and watch them axe. Chippity-chop, choppity-chip, the top of the tree is beginning to tip.
The top of the tree is beginning to tip.
Watch out, little robins, your nest is slipping. Watch out, little knot hole, your sap is dripping. Watch out, little dog, as you scurry around. A giant sequoia is falling down.
A giant sequoia is falling down.
And you need lots of room when you fall, if you're 640 feet tall. There's a pitiful stump in the forest where the wonderful tree used to be, and a most frustrated little dog, deserted by his favorite log. But the tree has gone down to the lumber mill where men transmogrify a tree, and if our little dog doesn't find it soon, very soon, he'll be in the need of psychiatry.
He'll be in the need of psychiatry.
Meanwhile, back to the wonderful tree, which is now at the Scott Factory. Hark, hark, alack and super hark, machines are stripping off its bark. Strippity strops, stroppity strips, they're chopping the tree into hickory chips.
They're chopping the tree into hickory chips.
Alas, giant tree, they destroyed you, I guess, for they sacrificed you to human progress. Now what are they doing? I cry with a gulp. They're smashing you into a pile of pulp.
They're smashing you into a pile of pulp.
But you'll thank them for chopping you up when you find you're a nice paper cup. The moral here is plain to see, for only God can make a tree. But cups are made by fools like me and the Scott Paper Company. They planted brand new seed, I know, and so a tall new tree will grow. So little dog, if you have to go, just wait 100 years or so. For then in the forest there'll be an almost identical, very botanical, perfect facsimile of the original, marvelous, wonderful tree.
See that bear lapping up that good old country water? Sure makes a big hairy guy like me thirsty. That's when I wrap my lips around a tall, sweaty, edible bottle of good old country Bear Whiz beer. As my daddy said, son, it's in the water. That's why it's yellow. Bear Whiz beer.
Bear Whiz beer, liquid product of Andrew Bear Whiz Brewery, Animal, Missouri.
Don't want to mow this lawn, this planet that we're living on. Someday we'll blow up and be gone. I read it in a book. The sun is gonna overload like something Stanley Kubrick showed. This solar system will explode. This place is gonna cook. Yeah, you know it's bound to happen someday. From what I've seen, it'll probably be on a Monday. Monday will never be the same. On that day, the Big Bang comes again. I'm gonna go downtown and hawk everything I own. I'm gonna buy myself some stock in Coppertone. Yes, I plan to be a wealthy man. On that day, the Big Bang comes again. Them Jesus freaks will be digging the show. Their bags will be packed up, be ready to go. They'll say, nee, we told you so. Ah, them Jesus freaks, they're gonna be real mad. Oh, that big, bright, beautiful sunny day, they realize they've been had. I say, we will all be equal in the end. On that day, the Big Bang comes again. The big blue sea is gonna roast. They're gonna burn just like some piece of toast. They're gonna be fried fish from coast to coast. I'm gonna lay them Rocky Mountains flat. I'm gonna wipe Colorado off the map. At least they're gonna shut John Denver's trap. Ah, sunshine gonna really be on his shoulder. On that big, bright, beautiful, sunny day, we all go supernova. I say, John, we'll all be equal in the end. On that day, the Big Bang comes again. And on that day, no one will give a damn how many children died in Vietnam. Or if Armstrong ever walked the moon. Or if Hiroshima ever went kaboom. Or if Oswald ever made the news. Or if Hitler ever took 6 million Jews. Or if Lucky Lindy ever made Paris. Or if Britannia ever ruled the sea. Or if Jesus Christ was ever born. Or if I ever mowed the lawn. Do-do-do-do-do-do won't make no difference when we're gone. No, I don't want to mow the lawn. Happy Halloween, all of you.
I always hope that no matter how small the original problem is, it's going to grow into bigger and bigger proportions that get completely out of control, and I'll give you a concrete example. Let's say a water main breaks in downtown Los Angeles and it floods an electrical substation, knocking out all the traffic lights and tying up the entire city, and emergency vehicles can't get through. And at the same time, one of those month-long global warming heat waves comes along, but there's no air conditioning, there's no water for sanitation, so cholera, smallpox, and dysentery break out, and thousands of people start dying in the streets. But before they die, parasites eat their brains, and they go completely fucking crazy, and they storm the hospital. But the hospital can't handle all the casualties, so these people rape all the nurses and set the hospital on fire. And the flames drive them even crazier, so they start stabbing social workers and garbage men. And a big wind comes along, and the entire city goes up in flames. And the people who are still healthy, they get mad at the sick people, and they start crucifying them, nailing them to crosses, trying on their underwear, shit like that. Then everybody smokes crack and PCP, and they march on City Hall, where they burn the mayor at the stake, strangle his wife, and take turns sodomizing the statue of Larry Flint. And at this point, it looks like pretty soon things are going to start to get out of control. So everybody panics and tries to leave the city at the same time. And they trample each other to death in the streets by the thousands. And wild dogs eat their corpses. And the wild dogs chase the rest of the people down the highway. And one by one, the dogs pick off the old fucks and the slow people because they're in the fast lane where they don't belong. Get the fuck out of the fast lane if you're an old fuck, if you're a slow fuck. Get over on the right. And then... And the lucky ones, the lucky people who manage to make it all the way outside of town, they discover when they get there that big sparks from the city have lit the suburbs on fire. And the suburbs burn uncontrollably. And thousands of identical homes have identical fires with identical smoke, killing all the identical soccer moms and their identical kids named Jason and Jennifer. And now the fire spreads to the farmlands, and the farmlands burn intensely at 425 degrees, creating millions of baked potatoes. And as the farmlands burn, thousands of barns and farmhouses begin to explode from all the hidden methamphetamine labs. And the meth chemicals run downhill into the rivers and streams where wild animals drink the water and get completely geeked on speed. So bears and wolves, amped up on crank, start roaming the countryside looking for people to eat, even though they're not really hungry. And the fire spreads to the forest, and the forests burn furiously, and hundreds of elves and trolls and fairies come running out of the woods screaming, "Bambi is dead! Bambi is dead!" Now hundreds of regional fires come together into one huge interstate inferno, and all 12 of the western United States are burning out of control, except Utah, where the Mormons don't allow fires. And the fire spreads across the Great Plains, toasting the wheat, cooking the cattle, and producing hamburgers, actually. Then it leaps the Mississippi and races through the South, blowing up stills, interrupting lynchings, and killing millions of inbred people. And then it turns northeast and it heads for Washington, D.C., where George Bush can't decide if it's an emergency or not. He can't decide this. He doesn't know. It's hard. Oh, it's hard work. You know? No. Yeah. He can't decide because Dick Cheney is in prison. So instead, he takes a nap. He takes a nap. He puts his empty fucking brainless head down on the little pillow his mother gave him at Christmas time, and he takes a fucking nap. So the fire moves to Philadelphia, but it's a weekend, and Philadelphia's closed on the weekend. So the fire moves to New York City, and the people in New York tell the fire to go fuck itself. Go fuck yourself. And it does. Yeah. And it does. So instead, it burns down Long Island and Connecticut, killing all the rich white assholes and completely destroying their evil faggoty golf courses. And while all this is going on, Canada burns to the ground, but nobody notices. And now the entire North American continent is on fire, producing a huge thermal updraft and creating an incendiary cyclonic macro system that forms a hemispheric megastorm, breaking down the molecular structure of the atmosphere and actually changing the laws of nature. Fire and water combine. Burning clouds of flaming rain fall upward. Gamma rays and solar winds ignite the ionosphere, creating huge clouds of ionized plasma. Bolts of lightning 20 million miles long begin shooting out of the North Pole, and the sky fills up with green shit. And then suddenly, the entire fabric of space-time splits in two. A huge crack in the universe opens, and all the dead people from the past begin falling through. Babe Ruth, Groucho Marx, Davy Crockett, Tiny Tim, Porky Pig, Hitler, Janis Joplin, Alan Ludden, my Uncle Dave, your Uncle Dave. Everybody's Uncle Dave, an endless stream of dead Uncle Daves falling through the crack. And all the dead Uncle Daves gather around a heavenly kitchen table. They light up cigarettes and they begin to talk. They talk about how they never got a break, how their parents didn't love them and their children were ungrateful. They talk about how the government screwed them out of money and they just missed out on a big job. They say the Jews own everything and the blacks get special treatment. And all the hatred and bitterness drips out of these people and forms a big pool of liquid hate. And the pool of liquid hate begins to spin. Round and round it spins, faster and faster. And the faster it spins, the bigger it gets. Faster and faster, bigger and bigger, until the whirling pool of hate is bigger than the entire universe. And then suddenly it explodes into trillions of tiny stars. And every star has a trillion planets. And every planet has a trillion Uncle Daves. And all the Uncle Daves have good jobs, perfect eyesight, and shoes that fit. They have great sex lives and free health care. They understand the internet. Their kids think they're cool, and they all love their neighbors. And every week, without fail, Uncle Dave wins the lottery. Forever and ever, till the end of time, every single Uncle Dave has a winning ticket. And Uncle Dave is finally happy. Now do you see why I like it when nature gets even with humans? Thanks for coming in here tonight. Thank you. See you later.
Oh, Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout would not take the garbage out. She'd wash the dishes and scrub the pans, cook the yams and spice the hams, and though her parents would scream and shout, she simply would not take the garbage out. And so it piled up to the ceilings, coffee grounds, potato peelings, brown bananas and rotten peas, chunks of sour cottage cheese. It filled the can, it covered the floor, it cracked the windows and blocked the door with bacon rinds and chicken bones, drippy ends of ice cream cones, prune pits, peach pits, orange peel, gloppy glumps of cold oatmeal, pizza crust and withered greens, soggy beans and tangerines, crusts of Blackburn buttered toast, grisly bits of beefy roast. The garbage rolled on down the hall. It raised the roof. It broke the walls. I mean, greasy napkins, cookie crumbs, blobs of gooey bubble gum, cellophane from old bologna, rubbery, blubbery macaroni, peanut butter, cake and dry curdled milk and crust of pie, rotting melons, dried up mustard, eggshells mixed with lemon custard, cold french fries and rancid meat, yellow lumps of cream of wheat. At last, the garbage reached so high that finally it touched the sky, and none of her friends would come to play, and all the neighbors moved away, and finally Sarah Cynthia Stout said, "Okay, I'll take the garbage out." But then, of course, it was too late. The garbage reached across the state from New York to the Golden Gate. And there, in the garbage, she did hate. Poor Sarah met an awful fate that I cannot right now relate, because the hour is much too late. But children, remember Sarah Stout, and always take the garbage out.
. 1858. Sewage and human waste is being dumped untreated into the Thames. The summer sun bears down, and London starts to drown in a rising tide of its own shit.
Ammonia burns my eyes. The sky is black. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me in, Yana. It's a very great pleasure to be here.
No, I'm sorry, I'm not Yana.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place.
No, this is a current affair, I'm not Yana.
I see. Oh, well, thank you very much, not Yana, for inviting me in. It's a very great pleasure.
That's fine. You're having a dispute with Greenpeace over your exploration off the coast.
Well, yes, there is some ground between us yet to cover. The precise detail, you see, of what we're doing seismically is somewhat at odds with the general principles espoused by Greenpeace.
General principles, I might say,
which we also espouse. General principles, the espousal of which would be axiomatic, I would think, to any understanding of environmental issues.
Yeah, could you be more specific?
Yes, we were going to dig a dirty great hole in the seabed because there's a quid in it and we got caught and we're rather embarrassed about it.
What do Greenpeace say is wrong with what you're doing?
They say the area we want to dig up is a whale breeding area.
Is it?
No, it's not.
It isn't?
No. Well, that is to say it won't be.
Well, when won't it be?
Well, it won't be when the whales get out of the area, will it?
Well, where are the whales going to go?
I don't know. I don't even know there are any whales there.
Isn't it a breeding ground, though?
I've never seen any whales breeding out there.
Well, have you been out there?
Of course I've been out there. I was out there the other day.
On a whale spotting boat?
No, on a dirty, great, big new drilling rig we've got that can displace an area the size of India in an hour and a half. Fantastic thing.
And there were no whales breeding?
I didn't see any.
Did you hear any?
I beg your pardon?
Where are they going to breed then?
I don't know, but I tell you something, they don't breed in the sea out there.
Well, where other than the sea out there do you think whales breed?
I don't know about whale breeding. I'm not making myself very clear. Dirty, great big holes in the seabed I can do for you.
Knowledge about whales
I don't have. But I'll tell you something about your whale. He's not a moron.
No, we understand.
A whale is a highly intelligent critter. I've seen them going through hoops at SeaWorld. Your whale's got enough brains to get out of the area while we're drilling. For goodness sake.
Can I put another way? Is there oil out there under the seabed?
We don't know, but we currently think so.
Have you got shares in BHP? Are you a shareholder?
Yes, of course I am.
And do you have shares in whales?
No, you can't get shares in whales, son. You don't buy shares in whales. Horses, yes, whales, no. I've got a share in a horse.
And how do you get a return from that?
They breed.
Uh-huh.
You breed them.
Yeah.
Why would you breed a whale? Your whale's got no speed and he can't stay. He's no good over hurdles, your whale, and he's useless on the flat.
Thanks for joining us.
Have you ever backed a whale? I can't remember the last time I backed a whale.
We're out of time,
You'll get decent odds, son, but keep your money in your pocket.
And did you know that the whales don't really care a whole hoot and holler about us? Did you know that? Well, they don't. Because why? Why should they, you know? Good morning. KBC here. Here are the Bit Slaps. This week we do our sort of annual ecology show, the Earth Day show. I don't care if it's 10 days early. We can do it if we want, because I got other plans for next week. Next week is my 15th anniversary here on the Bit Slap, by the way. But I don't know what I'm going to do about that. Anyway, we started off tonight with, you know, some kind of Earth-friendly songs. For example, we started with Stompin' Tom Connors' I Am the Wind, I Blow Around. Hookfoot, and that was Nature Changes by Hookfoot. Donovan Leach himself, the operating manual for Spaceship Earth. I think we better read it again, you know, for the first time in 600 or 800 years. The Rock and Roll of Photosynthesis was Billy B. Billy B, I don't know who. Okay, just Billy B, that's fine. The Deep after that. It's All a Part of Me from Psychedelic Moods album, or whatever that thing was called. The Wonderful Tree in the Forest was Alan Sherman. Yes, That Wonderful Tree in the Forest is All a Part of Me, and that's Alan Sherman. Let's see, Andy Brickman, I Don't Want to Mow the Lawn. Okay, Andy, that's fine, but you know what could happen. Okay, George Carlin after that, A Trillion Daves, another example of what can happen when the Earth goes crazy. Sarah Cynthia, Sylvia Stout, Would Not Take the Garbage Out from Shel Silverstein. The Great Stink was The Men That Will Not Be Blamed for Nothing. That's their name. And they're from England somewhere, you know, proto-punk band or something, I don't know. And Clark and Daw are friends from Australia or New Zealand, somewhere down there. Concerned about the whales this time, okay? So, I'm KBC. I am concerned about everything. I live up in Maine. I did see the eclipse. It was great. It was like a hole in the sky. If you've never seen a total... try to live long enough to see one. That's all I can tell you. All right. Meanwhile, we got some other stuff that'll put you in a friendly enough mood for the bears and the deer and the foxes and all those cute little bunny rabbits too. Don't forget. Okay. So let's see. Let's try looking at it a little differently, shall we?
I've been asked to say a few words to Earth people about the stars. You see, I've been there. I came from the planet Vulcan. For centuries, you Earthlings have been starstruck. You've had your lucky star. You kiss when you see the first star at night. You have movie stars, and you wish upon a star. Have you considered the possibility that on a star, the star people wish upon an Earth? For example, Earthlight, Earthbright, First Earth I see tonight. Or Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Earth, how I wonder what you're worth. Sounds strange? Well, on Cestus Omicron 3, the all-time hit song is Earth Dust. Also, people will sing Catch a Falling Earth and put it in your pocket. And might you not have difficulty accepting the idea of a national anthem called the Earth Spangled Banner? You see, it is, after all, a question of point of view. If I were an emotional creature, I would be shocked by your Earth concept of stars falling on Alabama. Really, I find that most illogical. Now, as to the matter of space sanitation, will you take a moment to consider all the littering and debris my planet has to contend with? Old nose cones, cameras, and even a corned beef sandwich? And those rocket fumes. On Vulcan, our leader's wife has started a Let's Keep Space Beautiful campaign. And now, I must hurry off to a galactic convention of what you Earth people might call those little green people. I leave you with the good advice my father gave me when I left my home planet, Vulcan. Don't let the Earth get in your eyes.
stranger in the land where I was born. And I live like an outlaw, and I'm always on the run. And I'm always getting busted, and I got to take a stand. I believe the revolution must be mighty close.
Yeah. nature has its place. But when I look into my baby's face, I lose all sense of judgment. I lose my regard. To think only of nature somehow seems so hard.
Candlelight dinners and just being with you, feeling so romantic and so warm inside. Yes, I do, I really do. I start to thinky of just how stinky that the things they really are. I think of Chernobyl and toxic waste dumps and the hole in the ozone the size of the United States. I think of dead fish and the dolphins that wash up on our shores. I think of condors and black rhinos and tens of thousands of animals facing extinction today. I want to forget all this madness and just think about the way you make me feel. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You really do. I see the pictures of reindeer in Norway dying from being downwind from nuclear air. I think of children in San Francisco dying of leukemia and new terms like cancer clusters. It makes me feel so blue. It does. It makes me feel so blue.
Thanks for your time tonight.
It's a great pleasure to be with you, Brian.
Good now, evening. You're the head of a major news organisation, aren't you?
Well, I run, Brian, one of the divisions of, yes, by all means, a major media organisation.
Yeah, but you're in the news business is what I'm saying.
Well, technically, yes, Brian, there's a bit of redefinition about what news actually is.
Yeah, there does seem to be a lot of change in this area, doesn't there?
In this space, Brian, is the way we express that. We say changes in this space.
What space?
The space where news used to be, Brian.
So what do you run in the news area where
well,
the news
what we're
used
doing,
to be?
Brian, is we now run an ongoing and permanent, continuous serial drama.
A soap?
It's not a soap, Brian. It's a bit more upmarket than that. I'd describe it as high-quality, long-running series drama.
Same characters in each week?
Regular characters, yeah. Strong regular characters. You need them, and you need interesting new guest characters yeah. coming
well, tell
in.
Tell me about it.
Well, you've got the title there, I believe, Brian.
It's The Planet Stupid.
No, there's a comma there, Brian. You don't say it. It's not as if oh. the planet's name is stupid.
Well, how are you supposed to say it?
You're supposed to say it's the planet, stupid.
Oh. And what's the matter with this planet?
Well, the planet's being destroyed by... They're destroying the planet.
And who's destroying the planet?
The people who live on it are destroying it.
They're destroying their own planet?
They are. That's what they're doing.
So are they fixing the planet?
No, I'll tell you what happens, Brian. There are three guys. There's a bloke yeah. called Malcolm, yeah. and there's Tony, and there's Bill, and they're having uh-huh. a huge fight with each other. Huge fight.
But why aren't they fixing the planet?
Well, because they're having a huge fight, Brian.
Any women in it?
Yes, there are some very, very good secondary roles, but it's mainly about these three blokes. Now, Malcolm and Tony used to be friends, but they had a falling out.
And Bill sorts it out, right?
No, he doesn't, Brian. No, Bill's got his own problems. Bill's actually on probation for a knifing incident.
And do Malcolm and Tony knife each other?
Yes, they do. Yes, they're knifing each other all the time. And, of course, there's a new character come in, Brian.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
want to spoil it for you. Do you watch
no,
the news
yeah,
at all?
No, I don't.
No, there's a new character in it at the moment called Scott.
And Scott's trying to fix the planet. Is that what happened?
No, Brian. Scott used to be Tony's friend, but then he changed his mind.
Because he wanted to fix the planet.
No, because he wanted to be Malcolm's friend, Brian.
Oh,
and
okay.
I don't want to worry anybody sure. who hasn't seen it yet, but there's a bit of a problem now between Malcolm and Scott because
what
Malcolm
happens?
Had a party
yeah.
and Scott didn't even know it was going to happen.
Oh, goodness me.
So
goodness
you can see me. Why it grips an audience.
Hang on. What about the planet? Is anyone fixing the planet?
I don't know about the planet, Brian. If anyone's trying to fix it, it's certainly not in the news.
Why not?
Well, I'm telling you what's in the news, Brian, and I haven't mentioned it so far.
It's The Planet Stupid.
No. It's The Planet Stupid.
Little bug, shame on you. Look at the terrible things you do. Little bug cluttering every place. My, but it's disgraceful. Little bug, where's your pride? Making a mess of the countryside. Spoiling and soiling each lovely view. Shame, oh shame on you. It really makes one wonder what kind of house you keep. On every tour, the world is your personal garbage heap. Litterbug, don't you care? People must follow you everywhere. Cleaning up places that you've gone through. Litterbug, shame on you.
Well, the gasoline prices are going back through the roof.
300 miles to a tank.
I took a look at my Hummer and I said it's time to tell the truth.
Little hybrid.
'Twas a warm and misty morning when a note dropped through my door. It was a picture of a thing that I had never seen before. A proposal for a turbine thing they're putting next to me. And I can't do nothing about it 'cause it's some green policy. Them wind farms, they be all across the Mendips. You'll see them cross from Wells to Stanton Drew. Them wind farms, they be all across the Mendips. They're sure to put the wind up me and you.
If they have to be, put them out to sea. Where the wind blows bright and breezy and they work efficiently. If they have to be, put them out to sea. Where the wind blows bright and breezy and they ain't affecting me.
We started our own action group with Ernie, Jake and Sue. And sat around the pub all night, deciding what to do. We talked to all the village folk, who made it very clear. They're noisy and they're ugly, and nobody wants them here. Them wind farms, they be all across the Mendips. You'll see them cross from Laverton to Froome. Them wind farms, they be all across the Mendips. They're sure to put the wind up me and you.
If they have to be, put them out to sea. Where the wind blows bright and breezy and they work efficiently. If they have to be, put them out to sea. Where the wind blows bright and breezy and they ain't affecting me.
The planners are dictated to by them at number 10. Perhaps we'll get a subsidy and put one next to them. I understand the argument for greener energy, but save our countryside for you and me.
If they have to be, put them out to sea. Where the wind blows bright and breezy and they work efficiently. If they have to be, put them out to sea. Where the wind blows bright and breezy and they ain't affecting me. If they have to be,
garden was this? It must have been lovely. Did it have flowers? I've seen pictures of flowers, and I'd love to have smelled one. Whose river was this? You say it ran freely. Blue was its color. I've seen blue in some pictures, and you tell me you've been there. Ah, tell me again, I need to know. The forests had trees, the meadows were green, the oceans were blue, when birds really flew. Can you swear that was true? Whose gray sky was this? Oh, was it a blue one? Nights there were breezes. I've heard records of breezes. And you tell me you felt one. Ah, tell me again, I need to know. The forests had trees. The meadows were green. The oceans were blue. Can you swear that was true? Whose garden was this? must have been lovely. Did it have flowers? I've seen pictures of flowers, and I'd love to smell one.
Thank you. Both work and living have become more and more pointless and empty. There's no lack of meaningful things that cry out to be done, but our working days are used up in what lacks meaning, making useless or harmful products, or servicing the bureaucratic structures. For most Americans, work is mindless, exhausting, boring, servile, and hateful, something to be endured, while life is confined to time off. Beginning with school, if not before, an individual is systematically stripped of his imagination, his creativity, his heritage, his dreams, and his personal uniqueness, in order to fit him to be a productive unit in a mass technological society. Instinct, feeling, and spontaneity are suppressed by overwhelming forces. As the individual is drawn into the meritocracy, his working life is split from his home life, and both suffer from a lack of wholeness. In the end, people virtually become their occupations and their other roles and are strangers to themselves. The American crisis, then, seems clearly to be related to an inability to act. But what is the cause of this paralysis? Why, in the face of every warning, have we been unable to act? Why have we not used our resources more wisely and justly? We tell ourselves that social failure gets down to individual moral failure. We must have the will to act. We must first find concern and compassion in our hearts. But this diagnosis is not good enough. It is contradicted by the experience of powerlessness that is encountered by so many people. Today, a majority of the people, as moral individuals, certainly want peace, but they cannot turn their individual wills into action by society. It is not that we do not will action, but that we are unable to act, unable to put existing knowledge to use. The machinery of our society apparently no longer works, or we no longer know how to make it work. The corporate state in which we live is an immensely powerful machine, ordered, legalistic, rational, yet utterly out of human control and indifferent to human values. It is hard to say exactly when our society assumed this shape. The major symptoms of change started appearing after the Second World War, and especially in the 1950s. The expenditure of $1 trillion for defense, the destruction of the environment, the production of unneeded goods, these were not merely extensions of the familiar blunders and corruption of America's past. They were of a different order of magnitude. And although they were all an integral part of a legal and seemingly rational system, they were surrounded by a growing atmosphere of unreality. Yeah. The stupidities and thefts of the Grant era were not insane. They were human departures from a reasonably human standard. In the 1950s, the norm itself, the system itself, became deranged.
Yeah.
These are quotations from an article by Charles A. Reich, whoever that is, in the New Yorker magazine, September 26, 1970. It's an issue before last. It's an article
before last what?
The last war.
Yeah,
called
Before Last Halloween.
The Greening of America and the Reflections section, and it's all about the corporate state and the development of new consciousness, and it's such an overwhelming.
We gotta say the word. Someone else may wanna use. Gotta say
one acre gun every mile.
sail away. Green seas, they try to defuse the air. The dark pool dreams, persist unkindly in the hall. We gotta save the world. The Russians have the biggest share with their long fingers everywhere. But now they're bouncing out of space with laser beams and atomic waves. We're at the mercy of so few, with evil hearts determined to reshape this planet into hell. Let fire and fire make quick sail. We gotta save the world. They're selling us plutonium. Now we can make our own H-bomb right in the kitchen with your mom. These people in the military all need a dose of peyote, then send them to a yoga class. Find the souls, forget the ass. We gotta save the world. And someone else may wanna use it. It's time you knew how close we've come, we're gonna lose.
We'll be right back. are here on this day. This is a promise to you, a promise we made.
We better hope she's there when we need her. We've been pretty abusive to our mother for quite a while now, and I think it's not a good idea, okay? So stop it, all right? Just stop it right now, all right? Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Earth from Captain Spock, Colonel Spock, Major Spock, Admiral Spock, Leonard Nimoy, who just had a birthday a couple weeks ago, along with William Shatner. They're like 3 days apart. Johnny Warman. Can't tell you much. I wouldn't if he tortured me. I love my planet. I couldn't. I don't know. I just don't know. Please leave me alone. Quicksilver Messenger Service. What about me? Who says I don't play the hits? Okay. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. Leave Her to Me was the Jades. We heard Johnny Don and the Jazzmakers. That was Smog after that. Let's see. It was Metal Devil Cokes. Remember them? Me either. That was Acid Reindeer. Let's see, Clark and Daw again. It's the planet stupid or it's the planet stupid. You decide. All right, don't tell me. Litterbug Song, a little thing from Robbie Lester on the Disneyland label. Okay. Power Salad, Little Hybrid. You decide which one was which. The Mendip Wind Farm song was the Wurzels and Tom Paxton. Whose garden was this? That was a live version from 71. Phil Proctor then, after that, reading a segment of a New York Times, New Yorker article by Charles Reich. And that was from September 1970. If that doesn't scare you alone, you should maybe think about it and listen to it again. Got it? Okay, Save the World, for God's sake. That was George Harrison, who is no longer able to help. He's done what he could. And Fanny. When we need her, and we need her a lot, because we live here, all right? We are the parasites. We don't want to be shaken off like so many fleas in a flea market. All right, I'll work on my similes, but anyway, you get the idea, all right? Coming up, let me give you a clue. We have Neil Hamburger coming up. We have Darlene Skiles, Send Me the Glory in a Handbag. Neil Hamburger's recycle bin has potty mouth in it, okay? And coming up, just to get us out of here, the natural progression of life. In case you hadn't figured it out, little Theodore has put it into a little nutshell, all right? So next week we will see you, and I will remind you that it's my 15th anniversary here at the Bit Slab. See ya!
You won't hear the ringing in your ear. You won't feel the pain in your knee. You won't care who's done you wrong. You won't worry that you've wasted all your time. It's the natural progression of life. It's the way it ends up. For us all, you won't know what shows get canceled. You won't know who wins the big game. You won't know who wins the next election. You won't know who starts the next war. It's the natural progression of life. It's one thing we all have in common. You won't know what they say about you. You won't know what they say about us.
You won't know who was right, who was wrong. You won't know who's dancing on your grave. It's the natural progression of life. It's just the way it has got to be. It's the natural progression of life. The natural progression of life. Nothing will ever matter to you again. The natural progression of life.
Children, they open all their goodies. The big surprise would be the death of me. Send me to glory in a glad bag. Don't waste the fancy coffin on my bones. Put me out on the curb next Tuesday. Sanitation local, bear me home. But maybe I am not bound for glory, but to that other place I would not choose. And if it seems that I'm headed in that direction, then an oven bag would be the thing to use. Send me to glory in on my bones. Just put me out on the curb next Tuesday. Let the sanitation local bear me home. Send me to glory in a glad bag. Don't waste the fancy coffin.
everything goes into the recycle bin? You stupid pricks. You can't recycle styrofoam. Or a potted plant. Or artichoke waste. You cocksucker. Fucker. Motherfucker. Stop tainting the waste stream. With pieces of wood. And old underwear? What are you going to recycle those into? Huh? Assholes? Not everything goes into the recycle bin. A shattered dream? A divorce? Those are just waste. A broken heart is useless to society. Some things simply must be thrown away. What do you think we can make with chicken bones, anyway? Recycle them into Pepsi bottles? What the hell is wrong with you? Listen, you fuckheads. All you have to do is read the top of the bin. Follow the instructions. You're not five-year-old children. It's doctors and lawyers doing this. It's extremely irresponsible. It's pathetic. Recycle bin. A career from someone who couldn't meet the grade. That darkness that invades our thoughts. The album that no one bought. A humble offering from a man re-entering the dating game. Not everything goes into the recycle bin. Thrown away. Not everything goes into the recycle bin. Not my career and not those chicken bones. Not everything goes into the recycle bin. A sugar-free birthday cake, a skin.